Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sexual Purity in Christ. This is Joycia Bell. Now, in the previous episodes, you have heard me say welcome to Purity in Christ, but the original name that I'm going to start using is Sexual Purity in Christ. So welcome. Thanks for listening in. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so we're getting into week two of our series called Refresh. This is episode 2 for the adults ages 18 to 35. Each episode has its own age group. And this particular episode is Discovering the Gift of Purity. Well, you might be asking, isn't this for the teenagers? Isn't this purity thing outdated? Aren't there more ways to be pure than just sexual? Well, the Word of God has a lot to say about sexual immorality, sex the right way, and presenting our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. With that being said, this second episode gets into the mission, the purpose of sexual purity in Christ, which is, here we go, to teach and affirm sexual abstinence until marriage. When you hear these podcasts, when you see other things in the future, events, the whole purpose behind sexual purity in Christ is to teach and affirm sexual abstinence until marriage. Now, for those of us who have at this point in life been married and divorced, God still cares about what we do with our bodies outside of his institution of marriage between one man and one woman. Yes, I know this is a 21st century. No part of this is popular. Never has been, and it never will be. But remember, let's think about something, how God sees the wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 through 20 says, King James Version, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" So here, Paul is confronting the Corinthians, reminding them of the gospel of Jesus Christ versus the wisdom of the world. And yet the same wisdom applies to us and living in God's ways and living by his word, which is his will for every one of our lives, every area of our lives. And so let's go, let's jump in. So first I want to present the foundational scripture of sexual purity in Christ, Romans 12, 1. Some of you may know it just from hearing that, Romans 12, 1. I'll read it and then we will make a declaration or a confession. This is a King James Version for Romans 12, 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." In this verse, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, basically has begged and pleaded with an eternal audience for all time, which includes us, to honor God with our bodies. Yes, even in adulthood. I know we're grown. I know we own homes. We've had kids. We've been through some things in life. But not only are our bodies or our earth suits made in his image, but Psalm 8 says he's actually crowned us with glory and honor. Mankind, he's crowned us with glory and honor. Psalm 8, take a look at it. God wants the best for our lives even more than we want it. And that includes this vital and precious area of sexual intimacy. So here's our confession based on Romans 12, 1. "I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is my reasonable service." Again, it's "I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is my reasonable service." See if you can say it with me real quick. "I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is my reasonable service." Now, this is the way we will start and end each one of our sessions. This is not a religious or pious ritual. It's not me insulting your intelligence. It is not us trying to sound like we're perfect or that we're better than anyone else. It's simply us declaring the word of God out of our mouths. It is the living word of God. Declaring the living word of God helps us feed our spirits, and it helps us keep our mind on Him. As a matter of fact, look at Romans 12:1 in other translations and versions. It doesn't have to always be King James. One quick way is to download an app to your devices. I like to use BibleGateway.com. There's an app for it, or either you can just Google it from a desktop or on your phone. You can plug in your scripture and choose a version, or just simply look at hard copies if you have hard copies of different versions. I have a few translations that are hard copies, and so I like to grab those. I have a Bible called the 26 translations. I have that one, and I can look up a verse and it'll show me what it says in a few other translations, so it's pretty cool. And I'm quite sure all this is online as well. So my point is, look at different versions, different ones that will speak to you and make the word more alive, or more, get your attention more with the different verses and the words that's used, and maybe it takes out the these and the thous. And so do that when you're reading the word. So if you have those hard copies, have at it. I just simply inserted me, my, and I, those personal pronouns, into Romans 12:1. But I want to point out one more thing about Romans 12:1 before we move ahead. In many versions of Romans 12:1, it states the word acceptable, as in presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That tells us something. If there are acceptable ways to present our bodies to God, then there are unacceptable ways to present our bodies to God. And it has nothing to do with our age, our status, or our life experiences. It has nothing to do with religion. This brings us to our main lesson. This is what we're going to get to today. We're going to do a quick scenario, and then we're going to look at four main scriptures on this subject. We'll point out a few things and we'll wrap it up. So stay with me. So here we go. Let me share a quick personal story that I'm quite sure we can all relate to, and you're going to laugh. So heads up. It's okay to laugh at me. So I was at my 10th year high school reunion. This was a while ago. We're all in our late 20s, almost age 30. We're about 28. We're catching up. We're having a good time. We're trying to put our best foot forward. You know, you're trying to impress people. You haven't seen them in 10 years and it's your old high school classmates. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We're trying to put our best self forward, our cool self. Well, our hosts were so nice and gracious. They had opened their home. We were trying to get together in some kind of way. They had food. They had quite a spread inside and outside of the house. There was stuff cooking under the carport. There was a lot of good stuff going on that day, and a very beautiful day at that. We were relaxing and enjoying cool beverages inside because it was kind of hot. We had some really cute glassware, some nice classy glasses for us. We were there enjoying ourselves, staying cool. Well, I'm caught up talking and looking around when I feel my glass slip out of my hand and I hear a crash on the floor. And I'm looking like, oh my goodness, what just happened? Wouldn't it have been me? Why me? And so much for that polished impression, right? But actually, they didn't make a big deal. They were fine. I was totally embarrassed. They were fine. I apologized profusely. They were like, no, just forget about it. It's okay. It's really okay. And I was able to enjoy the rest of my evening. I felt forgiven, although embarrassed, but I did feel forgiven. Well, let me ask you, is that something you would be able to soon forget about? I mean, hello, we are decades away from that day, from that incident, and I'm recalling it to you like it was today's news. So the point behind this whole scenario is this: just as the host and hostess of our high school reunion prepared a spread and opened their home just for us, God prepared and gave us our bodies. He carefully designed our bodies. We were made in His image. And so He is concerned about what we do with these bodies that are made in God's image. No matter our past relationships or the lack thereof, our interaction with the opposite sex is clearly directed in the Word of God. In our first adult episode entitled, I Am God's Gift, we talked about how precious we are to God. So feel free to go back and listen to that. It was episode 1, I Am God's Gift. We mentioned Psalm 139:14 in that episode, which says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So regardless of your past, whether you were never married, whether you had failed engagements or failed marriages, Psalm 139:14 is just as true about you as it ever was. God always sees you as a gift. You're His gift. When and if you marry or marry again, and it's pleasing to God, He will present you and your spouse as God's gifts to each other. The goal until then is to practice celibacy. Protect and respect the gift of intimacy within you. That is God's way. No matter what has happened in your life, no matter what your background is, you can start today protecting the gift of intimacy within you. We're going to take a break right here. Let's pause for about 30 seconds. We have a quick message from Anchor Podcasting. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Well, let's continue talking about respecting the gift of intimacy within us. You may or may not be familiar with the scriptures we're about to go over, our four scriptures that show God's blessing on marriage, and it shows how serious we are. He is about our bodies and how serious we should be. The scriptures are Hebrews 13:4, Ephesians 5:31. Feel free to jot these down or type them in. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. And Genesis 2:21-25. So the first one, Hebrews 13:4 from the King James Version says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. The Complete Jewish Bible says the same thing this way. Marriage is honorable in every respect, and in particular, sex within marriage is pure. But God will indeed punish fornicators and adulterers. So listen, hear God's heart in this. These are not just a bunch of rules. It's not just letter of the law. It is God's word. It is in there. We are in the 21st century, and there are many that will take these verses that we are studying and twist them around to say something that they think it should say. They will find some kind of way to twist it around, to take words, to redefine words. Some have said that fornication means promiscuous and more than one partner. Well, the verse about fornication means, well, don't do it with multiple partners, but with one is fine. But no, that's not right. Interestingly, the Berkeley version of the New Testament uses the word unchaste instead of fornicators. Unchaste is unchaste, whether it's with one person or with many, whether it's with one partner or multiple partners. So the number of partners don't make it fornication or not fornication. It's frankly sexual immorality, sex outside of marriage, outside of God's plan. And it says don't do it. Let me encourage you. Let me challenge you. Let me urge you to study your Bible for yourself. Satan's attempt to twist God's word is nothing new. And he is more crafty and deceitful than he's ever been. It started in the garden. Remember with Adam and Eve? He said, hath God said? He challenged it. He said, hath God said that if you eat from this tree, you would die? Or hath God really said, I think some translations say. So God loves us, and he wants his best for us, especially in our personal relationships. And yes, in sex done his way. within what He designed, which is sex and marriage. It is pure, whether it's your first spouse or whether you're married again or getting married again. Sex outside of marriage is unchaste. It is immoral. That's not His plan. That's not His design. And He gives us what we need to escape the temptation of it, to avoid the situations that would lead to premarital sex. Listen at these verses of how serious God is about our bodies now. He created us and the union of marriage. Ephesians 5:31. This is King James Version again. It says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." We've heard this before. We've heard this in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. It says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked and were not ashamed.'" Notice in verse 22, God brought Eve to Adam, and by verse 25, it said that they were naked and not ashamed. They were right there in front of God, but had no shame, no knowledge of being naked or needing to cover themselves. The first marriage that there ever was, God Himself put him together. It's His design. It's His example. So one more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 18 through 20. The complete Jewish version starts off by saying, "Run from sexual immorality." Very plainly stated. Very plainly stated. Otherwise, you may recognize this verse as "flee fornication" in the King James Version. Flee fornication. And the Amplified adds, "even in thought, flee fornication." Even in thought. So we're continuing on with verse 18. "Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the fornicator sins against his own body." Verse 19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Verse 20, "For you are bought with the price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So, hey, we did not just go over these scriptures to make anyone feel condemned, but it's simply to remind us and inform us that our body is God's. And there are many more scriptures that will support this. Look them up in your spare time. You can Google fornication. You can also put fornication in as a search into the search engines of your whatever Bible app you're using. You can put the word fornication. You can put the word marriage. You can put the word unchaste. You can put any of those words and see what pops up, and notice the verses from Old and New Testament. And so remember to use your Bible app or your hard copy. You can use the concordances from your hard copy. So we're moving along. Jesus shed His blood for the human race, whether we accept Him or not. That's why it says we were bought with a price in 1 Corinthians 6:20. That's why it says we are to glorify God in our bodies and our spirits, which are God's. From the day we got saved, from the day we gave our life to Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, giving us power and strength to live out this word, not to look down on anybody else, not to try to be perfect, but to live out this word. God is not cracking a whip at us. He loves us and takes us very seriously. We are special and precious and sacred to Him. We simply love Him back by reverencing Him and taking Him seriously. He is precious to us. He is sacred to us. God's plan for us, especially in the area of relationships and sex, will not be popular. It will not be accepted, socially accepted at all. Remember that. But we must not allow this popular New Age, philosophical, or intellectual views the twists, the turns to dictate how we believe or what we do about God's word. Our bodies are really not our own. They are God's. Some years ago, Kirk Franklin, I'm quite sure most of us are familiar with him. He released his album called God's Property. And I love that phrase. He indeed coined it as an expression for the present times we live in. That was an accurate expression according to God's word, because we are his. We are his property. So in this area, and yes, me too, we have missed it. Many of us may have missed the mark, but God is always ready for us to come to him, to repent, to receive his love, receive his forgiveness and instruction through his word. You can commit, let's commit and recommit to a celibate life today. I had to recommit as well. It is possible. Continually ask God to help you avoid situations that may lead to sex. For those of us in relationships such as dating, courtship, or engagement, both of you ask God to help you not give in to the urge to have sex. It's not punishment. It's simply honoring God's blessing on your upcoming marriage. God always guides. He will not leave you hanging. The flesh, people, the devil, life itself will drain you emotionally and try to pull you away from living out this word. But we must fight. We must resist. And you will not regret it. We will get more into resisting temptation and frustrations leading to premarital sex in future episodes. Those of you who are virgins, I want to tell you, please continue to wait. No matter what is said, no matter how you're ridiculed, please wait. I'm telling you this as someone who got frustrated and gave away my virginity. Yes, I'm forgiven, but wouldn't it have been nice to be able to tell my future husband that he's my first? So, virgins, ladies, or gentlemen, do not cave in. Don't let this modern mindset suck you in. Obeying God is worth it. No, it doesn't always feel good to your body, and God sees that, and he's going to honor your sacrifice and your obedience. Jesus was victorious in resisting temptation, and we can be too. I want to add right here also, because of the perverted world that we live in, if anyone listening to this podcast is a victim of any kind of sexual abuse or harassment and it's not been dealt with before, please seek counseling and therapy where you feel safe. It is never too late to report any assault or abuse that you suffered. Reach out to law enforcement, church leaders, counselors. Please reach out to them. If you happen to be pregnant, whether willingly or unwillingly, know that the child in you is another one of God's gifts, his creations. Get the best medical care you possibly can and seek therapy too. Again, please seek therapy and help. Feel free to send prayer requests or questions about resources also to our Facebook page, Sexual Purity in Christ. We also have an Instagram, PURITYINCHR. It's short for Purity in Christ. We will definitely point you in good direction for these resources. So with finishing up, we took some time and it's worth it because you are worth it. Let me put four things into your consideration. You could call this homework. First, go back and listen at the podcast, this podcast, or even the first episode, I Am God's Gift. Talk about it with your date or with your fiance. We are adults. We can communicate to one another about setting goals to avoid premarital sex. Second, remember our confession based on Romans 12:1. I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is my reasonable service. Also, number three, pray and repent. Ask God's help or his forgiveness or both. He is ever present with us. He is here for us. And fourth, continue to speak life to yourself and over yourself. Nobody else can do that for you like you can. In our first episode, we talked about thinking of things in our story, in our life story, our accomplishments that made us feel good about ourselves. Then we mentioned being fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14 that we mentioned earlier. So look at yourself. Look at yourself in the face, in a mirror. Grab a mirror on your phone. Grab your camera. Call yourself awesome. Call yourself a beautiful God, a beautiful gift from God. You are worth the wait for sex within marriage. Your future spouse is also worth the wait, regardless of whether it's the first marriage or not. Just wait. So we are done with this episode number 2. So hey, let us know your thoughts, your testimonies, your comments, questions on either our Facebook page, Sexual Purity in Christ, or our Instagram page, which is again, PURITYINCHR. Follow, like, share, comment, post. Again, we welcome your questions and comments. Reach out if you need to reach out to a counselor or to law enforcement. Our Facebook, remember, is Sexual Purity in Christ. You're welcome to join there and to join on Instagram. Have a wonderful day, and we look forward to our next episode with you. Have a good one.